This morning, a reading comes from the third chapter of James' letter, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness and born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where there is envy and self-ambition, there will be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. The book of James is a practical book. It's a series of short messages about how to live a life of discipleship within a faith community. James challenges its readers, both then and now, to consider how it is that they move in their everyday lives. It challenges us to consider how our lives reflect our beliefs. For that is what discipleship is all about. As followers of Christ, we are to do more than believe that He is our Savior, but we are to move forward from that point of faith, and we are to become like Him in everything that we do. Today's scripture is the very heart of what James is trying to say. To be true disciples of Jesus, we must be centered in His wisdom and not centered around any of what passes for wisdom here on this earth. James points out two particular side effects of the wisdom of this world in these verses: bitter envy and selfish ambition. Can I get an amen? We know these things well. Oh, so well. Earthly wisdom tells us that there are so many great and wonderful things to be had on this earth. We need to do whatever we can do to get them all for ourselves. Earthly wisdom tells us that the early bird gets the worm, and that if you work hard, you can accomplish anything. And so we work ourselves right out of relationships with our family, and we work in ways that are not moral in order to get ahead, and we tell ourselves that the title below our name on the business cards is all worth it. Earthly wisdom tells us that numbers are everything. How many people were there? How much money did you bring in? What is the return on our investment? Earthly wisdom tells us, each one, that we are the smartest person in the room, every room, and that everyone else would just be wise to follow our lead, to lay down their opinions, to just let us handle it, let us control it. Gross. When you put it that way, right? Yuck. And it's there even when it's not as blatant as those examples. Envy and ambition, selfishness and bitterness. This is what happens when we follow the wisdom of this earth, which, as James boldly says, is unspiritual and devilish. And the worst thing about Earth's wisdom, the worst thing is it blocks our ability to receive and act and move and live in God's wisdom. because it is so opposed to everything his wisdom is about. Do you remember Jesus? Do you remember our God made flesh coming into this world in what could not be more humble circumstances? Do you remember our God made flesh going to the river and asking John to baptize him, the Messiah? Do you remember our God made flesh hiding on the top of a mountain rather than allowing the crowds to take him and make him a king after he had fed 5,000 of them with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Do you remember our God made flesh kneeling before his disciples hours before he would be carried away to his death and washing their feet? Perhaps while their words asking which of them was greatest still hung in the air. Do you remember our God made flesh telling his followers that he had a new commandment for them? Love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. Envy, selfishness, ambition, bitterness, not in his vocabulary. Look at the words James uses. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And he goes on to say, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Dig into that for a minute. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Do you know what you have to do to harvest anything? You have to work at it. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace. So we have to work hard at peace. We have to work hard at getting along, work hard at being humble, work hard at living based on the wise ways that Jesus showed us. Work hard. And we will have a harvest, a plentitude, an overflowing of being right, of doing right, of living right, all by working hard at being peaceable, which, in case you haven't noticed, is not the way of this world. Several years ago now, I was listening to This American Life on my way to work, and one of the stories that day was being told by Jonathan Goldstein, and it was about a book that his father had given him when he was 11 years old. The book was called Ultra Psychonics, and it was full of all sorts of crazy stuff that his father thought he would just love. The book promised to teach you how to shoot mental laser beams, move solid objects with your mind, make others obey your commands, multiply your brain power by a factor of 1,000, and defend yourself against demonic attacks. It sounds crazy, I know, but Jonathan, at that age, was really into magic. He was really into fantasy novels, and so his father thought it was right up his alley. And it was. The book, as Jonathan put it, revealed what I had always suspected, that the adult world operated on magic. Finding a job, acquiring a wife, and a bag of Egg McMuffins with the mere flash of a plastic card, how else were these things accomplished? To an 11-year-old, this book's theories seemed as plausible as anything else. The book's theories were crazy, by the way, but they were written in this way that seemed so scientific that even Jonathan's father thought there might be something to it. For instance, the book suggested that you could shut the door with your mind, not just by thinking hard about it. The book said you shut the door by turning on the ultronic generator in your head to stimulate the flow of Voltrons. Well, as you might imagine, this book, regardless of how scientific it sounded, was just a bunch of made-up stuff. It was written by a guy who was an editor at a publishing house, and he wanted to cash in on what he saw happening. He saw that there was this insatiable human appetite for occult self-help. Books like Secrets from Beyond the Pyramids. Jonathan spent hours poring over this book as a child. He spent hours laying on his bed trying to turn on the ultronic generator to close the door to his room. And when he revisited the book as an adult, he found that it all felt very familiar to him, except for the last chapter. The last chapter of the book was the ultimate stage of ultra-psychonics. The book warned, when you started it, don't attempt to read the last chapter first. If you tried that first, you wouldn't be ready for it. But when you were ready, you would find it profoundly rewarding. There is no discussion in the last chapter of Voltrons or generators. The last chapter instead outlines the 10 actions for leading a good life. Are you ready? The joy of giving, humility, working, caring, fidelity, sufficiency, calmness, learning, meditation, and reverence. Golden rule sorts of things, really. Stuff an 11-year-old is not interested in or ready for, and honestly, many days, none of us are either. That is God's wisdom kind of stuff. And there are no scientific steps to take to get there. And that is precisely my point today. Last week in the sanctuary services, I preached on an earlier portion of this chapter of James. It was all about the dangers of the tongue. In the book of James, we are warned about the great dangers of the tongue. And the author is not very optimistic that we will actually be able to tame our tongues. He colorfully illustrates how powerful and dangerous our tongues are. He points out that we use this same mouth to praise God and to tear down those made in His image. But he doesn't tell us how to tame our tongue. He just says it shouldn't be this way. Our mouths should not be so dual-minded. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read things like that in the Bible, I feel like it is like giving me a diagnosis with no cure. It was like telling me to turn on my ultronic generator. Not even some sort of half-baked remedy is included. And I tell you what, this week in the book of James is no different. Nothing that you will read in the book of James, from the famous faith without works is dead, all the way through to the end, nothing that you read in the book of James is difficult to understand. But doing it, that's the hard part. But there is no quick fix. There is no incantation that we can say to turn us into good disciples. There are no Voltrons we can make flow. I wish there were, but it's just hard work. It's simple to understand, but it's hard to do. Very early in the book of James, it says, "If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives generously and ungrudgingly to all." James points out, front and center in his letter, that if we would just ask God for wisdom, His wisdom, He will give it to us. Now, we all know that we can ask God for things. I hope that you ask God for things. But this is the thing we need to ask for the most. Wisdom. God's wisdom. We need to ask for it. We need to search His word for it. We need to strive to do the things that indicate that we know in our heart what His wisdom is. We need to work to tame our mouths so that the earth's wisdom doesn't come out of them instead. We should ask for wisdom so that we can make smart choices all day, every day. Choices that will show that we are true disciples. Choices that will show that we live, that we are true disciples. Choices that will show that everyone we meet will show everyone we meet that we are true disciples. You see, the work that we are to be in the business of doing, the work that He asks us to do and leads us to do and expects us to do, all boils down to living according to God's perfect wisdom. And there are no quick fixes. There are no tips and tricks to this. There is no promise that because we believe that it will all be easy. Saying we believe, making it true with our words, well, it just doesn't translate into things going easy after that. We have the Spirit within us, that's true. But God's wisdom is so different than earth's wisdom that we are just going to run into challenges. We are going to run into challenges and trials. Earthly wisdom tells us that what we need to do is to get everything we can for ourselves. God's wisdom tells us to ask for this day's bread and to worry about nothing else. Earthly wisdom tells us that the early bird gets the worm and that if you work hard, you can accomplish anything. God's wisdom tells us He has done the work for us. Earthly wisdom tells us that numbers are everything. God's wisdom tells us that our neighbor is everything. Earthly wisdom tells us that we are the smartest person in the room, so we should be in control. God's wisdom tells us that He is in charge and that true freedom is surrendering control. God's wisdom is uncomfortable at times. But I'm going to tell you this, it sure beats our own. As author and speaker Lisa Turkhurst puts it, God is good. God is good to me. God is good at being God. May we go from this place knowing that to be true. May we go from this place trusting in Jesus, truly trusting Jesus, who knows all suffering, all temptation, everything we have ever known, and who still was able to say, not your will, but mine. No, that's not what He said. Not my will, but yours. See? May we go in Jesus' name, in the power of the Spirit, living in His wisdom to His glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Your wisdom is difficult and challenging and countercultural. From the Beatitudes to the teachings about being humble and surrendering control, it makes no sense in the wisdom of this world. But Lord, the hope that we find in You, the grace and love that we find in You, It is so much more than anything we can gain here on this earth. So, Lord, this day we ask you to help us, to give us wisdom, and to allow us to truly trust in you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.